Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Live journeys into mind, heart, and soul. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest. Spirit Talk Live is our monthly forum for exploring the great questions of existence, for joining the quest to find meaning and worth in life through intellectual inquiry and sacred spirit. It is a worldwide conversation for spiritual seekers and rational empiricists, for people of all religions and of no religion, of all faiths and of no faith, because here on Spirit Talk Live, everything is sacred and nothing is sacred. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to this month's edition of Spirit Talk Live. We're delighted that you are here with us. I have a very, very interesting and special guest for you today. Before we begin, let me once again remind you of my newest book, Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People, a compelling appraisal of the present state of our present-day world and a bold, visionary, spirit-filled blueprint for its transformation and evolution through radical loving and awesome holiness, a call to oneness, a promise of Eden, that Earth can be Eden once again. It's available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and from your favorite booksellers. It is a more and more compelling book every day as this country and world unfolds. And of course, we can't begin any program at this stage in our world without the deepest prayers for our brothers and sisters, the household of Israel, in the land of Israel, the state of Israel, for prayers for the release of the hostages, bring them home now, and prayers for our brothers and sisters in the Arab lands, our cousins in the Arab lands. It is time for peace. And so we are joining the world in the prayers that the children of Jacob and Esau, the children of antiquity and the children of modernity, will be able to soon touch hands in peace. My guest today, it's really an interesting story. We were schoolmates at our beloved alma mater, the Hebrew Union College, more than 50 years ago, and we've not seen each other in over 50 years, but he's had an illustrious rabbinic career, and this is, I believe, his first book.
Correct.
And we haven't seen each other in all this time, but I'm delighted to make a reacquaintance with him. He's Rabbi Michael Tzedek, who had a distinguished career as a rabbi in Kansas City and in Chicago, and is the host of a podcast called Religion on the Line. And his book is called Taking Miracles Seriously, A Journey to Everyday Spirituality. It is published by Sutherland House in Toronto. And he's coming to us now, I'm not sure, from Kansas City or from Chicago, but it is a great pleasure to welcome to Spirit Talk Live my schoolmate and colleague, Rabbi Michael Tzedek. And with full disclosure, when we knew each other, we had full heads of hair, and now we don't. So, Rabbi Tzedek, welcome, welcome to Spirit Talk Live.
There were not just full heads. Is froze or Jew froze or no fro, no mo. But that aside, as Al Vorspan of blessed memory used to say, God only made a certain number of perfect heads. The rest have hair.
Well, yours and mine, long gone.
Yeah, fondly remembered.
Yeah.
Never.
So are you in Kansas City or are you in Chicago right now?
No, I'm in Kansas City right now because, you know, Super Bowl requirements, I have to live here until the next Super Bowl.
Aha, very interesting, very interesting. So let's begin. You have a very, very interesting last name. It's Zedek, Z-E-D-E-K,
right.
And I don't think we know anybody else with that name.
It's a rare last name, that much I acknowledge, and it's a precious last name. For those who are wondering, in Hebrew it's pronounced Zedek, in English Zedek, and it means righteousness or justice, and endlessly, whenever I'm at a rabbinical gathering, someone will always quote Deuteronomy, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, justice, justice, you shall pursue, or as I like to translate it, justice, justly, you shall pursue. But with that last name, I had the following career options. I could be a cemetery, a hospital, or a rabbi. So I chose rabbi. And for those who don't know, oft times, hospitals and cemeteries have that word in their name, like Rodef Tzedek, as many synagogues, or Shaarei Tzedek, oft-times named both a hospital and, alas, a cemetery. But
well, you have spent a career, I know, fulfilling your namesake.
It's kind of to imagine that. God willing, we still have work to do, you know?
Indeed, indeed. So, fascinating book. As I always say, I can't afford guest speakers, so I get people who with whom I agree and with whom I disagree.
Wait a second. You mean that check isn't going to clear?
No. Well, you know, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, I keep looking for you and I can't find you, so there it goes.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted to have the chance, first of all, to renew a connection. Because the last time we saw each other was school, and then the time before that was at Mount Sinai, maybe 3,300 years ago, right? It is an opportunity for, I hope, people to say, hey, this guy sounds like his book might be worth an investment in, I'd love to imagine that that might be true.
Well, tell us the basic premise of the book.
Ah, the elevator speech. Are you ready?
The elevator speech. I'm ready.
Yeah. So, fundamentally, the book started out as a recognition that every time in the Hebrew Bible what you or I would call a miracle occurs, no one seems to draw the correct lesson, which has got to be some aspect of the lesson. I'll be clear in a second, I hope. The other piece of the puzzle is that leads to the notion that all of us are what I'll call dualists. Namely, we divide the world into ordinary and extraordinary. And what do we do with the extraordinary? Clearly, we have no choice. We pay attention. It slaps us across the face and says, you've got to pay attention. What we do with the ordinary is equally clear. We take it for granted. So the burden of the book is if there were ways to take the ordinary for granted less, our lives would be more filled with life. Now, as to the miracle piece, which got this whole adventure started, I'm going to give a classic example and then stop me when I'm going too much, okay? You ready?
Go right ahead.
All right. So I bet some of the listeners remember what's sometimes called the golden age of situation comedies on TV, Mr. Ed, the talking horse, right? And I don't do many impressions, but one of my best is when Mr. Ed introduces himself to Wilbur. Wilbur's probably nonplussed, right? Because it's not in our experience for horses to talk, let alone have the best lines in classic situation comedies. Hebrew Bible has an exact equivalent, Wayne, as you know. Balaam or Balaam in his talking jackass, where he goes on and has a perfectly natural conversation as though nothing were out of the ordinary. Maybe the lesson there being, who is the real ass here? But on a deeper level, text says it takes 10 plagues to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as you also are aware, maybe many listeners, the rabbinic tradition invents thousands, which is their way of saying, watch out, something funny is going on. All of a sudden, they're out in the wilderness, and Yul Brynner changes his mind and goes after them, right? Yul Brynner, Pharaoh. Clearly there's a problem. No firstborn horses, no firstborn officers. They're all dead, according to the story, right? The Israelites see the dust cloud of the Egyptian chariots coming, and they panic. Why don't they say, look at these stupid Egyptians. Don't they know we got God playing for our team? But they panic, and then Moses, my other great impression, be still and see the workings of the Lord. Yeah. Then the text says Moses turns to God, and God says, according to the text, I don't know what God says, I know what the text says, right? Why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. That may be the real miracle here, for goodness gracious sake. And then the text tells us the sea split and they walk through on dry ground. There is always a telltale. Watch out. There should be mud. But no. It's all right, sir. I want to be a literalist. It's two miracles. It's not one. Israelites pass through. The Egyptian chariots are held back by a fiery whirlwind. They get past. You're an Egyptian chariot driver. You're going to drive in there? You've got to be Meshuga, out of your mind. But the text says they do, and then another hint or clue. Then the children of Israel beheld Mitzrayim, Egypt, not Egyptians, Egypt, dead on the shores of the sea. But here's the most important part. Then they had emunah, usually mistranslated as faith, really means confidence. Then they had confidence in God and Moses, God's servant. Until the next chapter. Got no water, they get water. Got no food, they get manna. One of my favorites. The text says they called it manna because they looked at it and said manhu, which is archaic Hebrew for what is it? Got to be the obvious attempt at humor. Manna's great, now they get sick of it. We want meat. They get meat, birds. A miracle that happens every year in the Sinai, one of the great natural bird flyways in the world. They get to Mount Sinai, and in the greatest personal appearance in all of human history, even better than Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, God speaks to the entire community. Moses is up on the mountain. They build a golden calf. Either these are the dumbest people to ever walk the face of the earth, or there's something more going on here. Self-evidently, our tradition and any serious religious tradition embraces the idea there's a great deal more. So, for example, Dr. King, these stories, notice he used the word stories, these stories indicate it is easier to get the slaves out of Egypt than to get Egypt out of the slaves. Always true. Always true. We're free before we're willing to embrace our freedom. The book's emphasis is a different, and with this I'm going to pause. We are free to disbelieve the evidence of our own experience. Disbelieve the evidence of our own experience. I know that's true about me, and I make a leap to presume others share the same blind spot. Or as the old Gates of Prayer book of the Reform Jewish movement used to say, days pass, years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. What isn't a miracle? That's the tendens of the book in only 34 minutes.
Amen. And there you have. There you have the entire Torah by Rabbi.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
Save the Animals Today offers a respectable retirement and end-of-life experience for all the horses that have been abandoned as they age. Not a day goes by that people don't call Save the Animals Today looking for a place for their horses. Patty and the folks at Save the Animals Today do their best to bring as many horses as they possibly can to beautiful Dudette Ranch to love them and care for them. Dudette Ranch is a special place. Horses and other farm animals enjoy the peaceful sanctuary of the lovely hills north of San Diego. Volunteers of all ages come to interact with and take care of these wonderful creatures. Older folks who had horses when they were growing up and now have some free time especially enjoy helping around the barn with animals who want the extra attention. Save the Animals Today would like to provide shelter for every farm animal who needs rescue. Right now, there's a waiting list. Dudette Ranch needs your help. The horses need your help. You can help these magnificent animals by making a tax-deductible donation to Save the Animals Today. $25 will make a difference, and $25 a month will mean another older horse will enjoy its older years, loved and cared for. If you want to help even more, visit the website at www.savetheanimalstoday.org.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
This is Spiritual Life. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. We're back. There was a glitch in technology. We just dropped the call here. We're not sure if it was the station, if it was me, if it was Rabbi Tzedek. One way or the other, we went to commercial and now we're back. And it could be You just never know these things, folks. It could be that with Rabbi Tzedek telling the story in the way he did, that God zapped us. You just don't know. You just don't know.
I have my doubts. I mean,
I'm more of a man of faith than you, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I think I have a wonderful confidence. In fact, here's the heart of my confidence.
And I
suspect we're on the same page, especially in terms of the introduction. There's holiness all around us. There's a sacred dimension in us.
Before the Exodus story was the burning bush. You have a chapter about that. Tell us your take on the burning bush.
Well, as it were, what if I were to tell you before I got on, I was outside in my yard and there was this bush, and it was burning and it wasn't burning up. First challenge. In what sense does it make sense in English for a bush to be burning and not burning up? In what way is it burning, and in what way is it not burning up? And how would I know? Because I'd have to pay attention. So is my suggestion is that the Moses in Moses, and the Moses that maybe we can find more of in ourselves, is just pay attention, to stay in there. I don't think bushes talk Hebrew, Latin, Greek, or French, but I do wholeheartedly believe that a person can hear oneself addressed in a sunset, in a tear, in an embrace, even in an exquisite flower or a bush. But here's the nuance. The text suggests it's toward the end of the day, and in the Sinai, in a world that was unpolluted, the sunset would be as though the sky were on fire. Moses sees that sunset through a bush. What kind of bush was it? I can tell you precisely. It has to be, in order to have survived in the Sinai, a bramble with thorns and small leaves. Thorns to minimize how much it's going to lose to the animals that need to eat it in order to survive, and small leaves in order to minimize evaporation. Moses is safe, as I suggest, in the Sinai suburbs. He's married to the boss's daughter. He's going to inherit the family business. He belongs to all the right clubs, and he gives it all up to go back to Egypt to free a people who aren't even going to be grateful, although that story begins as a story, the unfolding of which is still going on to our very day. What's going on? I think that a natural understanding would suggest that Moses realizes he cannot be safe, cannot be free, while his people are burning in the fiery furnace that the Bible calls Egypt. And he changes his life, and he changes the world. Because I do think, as I love to cite one of my favorite Midrashic commentaries, not a single blade of grass can grow unless the angel for that particular blade of grass whispers to it, grow, grow, grow. Now, as it happens, I don't think there's an angel for every blade of grass. But I sure as heck believe that a lot of us have had moments like that, where life has a clarity and coherence that we say, yes, yes, and more yes. That's my take on it, because I think these stories are far too vital to only take them literally. I take them seriously. And what is the message? What is the meaning? What are the burning bushes in our life? Or, as I love, this is one of my favorite poems, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, from a wheelchair. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every bush is afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries. I'd love to imagine that what she's really suggesting is that when it is just a blackberry bush, properly understood, it's a moment of awe, a moment of wonder, a moment of holiness, if only we would pay attention. Or to put it in the frame that I began our conversation before God intervened and cut us off, the ordinary is also loaded with the miraculous. Or as Einstein, as I point out in the book, a pretty fair country philosopher and a decent physicist, there are two ways to live. The first is though nothing is a miracle. The second is though everything is a miracle. I believe it's possible for us to get closer to that second way, more and more awareness that there is nothing but miracle.
And so you are dividing the world between natural and supernatural, and you seem to be challenging the biblical story, and therefore challenging the place of God within the world as told in the biblical story.
I don't know for sure how to respond precisely to that, because it is a challenge. But what I'm suggesting is that implicit in these stories, that I'm not imposing something foreign, I think it's implicit in the truths that these stories convey rather than facts that they seem to construct. There is no place where God is not, in my judgment, in my experience, in my wonder at the world. And so I the notion of supernatural is beyond me. The natural is more than enough filled with amazement and wonder that it is capable for me to say, there are burning bushes scattered randomly through every day, and what do? I ignore too many of them. I could ignore fewer and be more alive to my life. That's good enough for me, whatever the God idea is, and maybe we'll get to that, because as you know, the second part of the book is a little bit about how do we take God seriously then in this context. And one of the small footnotes to that is most folks in the religion game, when they're talking about God, generally make the leap to suggest this is what God is. I'm telling you what my experience is, realizing that God is more than I can describe.
Well, folks, I want you to know that, as you all know out there, I've written 10 books, and this is, I believe, Robert Sedek's first, and
right.
It is...
Maybe only.
And maybe only. That's what I say at the end of every book. That's it, I'm done. But I want you to know that this book is stunning in its intellectual breadth and depth. It's filled with wisdom. I don't always agree. As a matter of fact, I disagree with a great deal of it. But it is filled with it would seem to me, the learning and the discernment of a lifetime. And it proves that Rabbi Tzedek is one of the great both intellectualists and spiritualists of our time. So I want to, even though I may disagree with a great deal in the book, I want to recommend it very highly, because is a stunning tour de force of writing and intellectual acumen. So,
Well, first, again, I'm beyond grateful for that suggestion, and I look forward to our having discussions about the places where we don't have to see eye to eye in order to walk shoulder to shoulder. That's one of my old-fashioned notions of how we make progress in our world instead of hitting each other.
Exactly. Rabbi, you officiated congregations for your entire career, or most of your career. You had some time in Jewish, as they call it, alphabet organizations. So you, in the middle of the service, the highlight of the service, you take the Torah scroll from the Ark, you walk around the congregation, reaches out and touches and kisses this scroll, and you come back and you read the lesson of the week. And how do you do that in terms of the truth of the story, the truth of the lesson, the attributes that are given to God in the stories?
Yeah. Well, first piece of the puzzle is, this is a story I actually tell in the book. Some of your listeners may be familiar with some in the world of Christianity, and all of a sudden his name went right out of my head, but a wonderful Christian minister from the Disciples of Christ community within Protestantism. On his first trip to Israel, the guide, and those of us who have been to Israel, everybody I know says, my guide is the best guide ever. They're all fantastic, right?
Right.
But the guide says, such and such a miracle happened here. And my minister friend interrupted, but I hope you don't mind if I have a different understanding. And without missing a beat, the guide said, of course not. You can be sure there's only one way to understand something. It didn't come from God. I embrace that wholeheartedly. Jewish tradition calls it Devar Acher, right? Another interpretation. Another, not my right and your wrong one, but another one. It ought to be intellectually defensible, but it doesn't mean that the text is univocal. It speaks with a multitude of voices, and both of us grew up with, are being told, pardes, you know, the minimum of four levels that every biblical text delights in. In Midrash, filling in the spaces between the words and sometimes in between the letters. We have a love affair with these texts, and it reveals nuance and meaning and meanings. The text doesn't change, but we do in terms of what we bring to it and where we are in that journey. I love the fact that pardes, which happens to be, as you know, the Hebrew word for orchard, is the origin for the English word paradise. But it's never sufficient to say that the literal meaning, whatever the heck that means, is sufficient. Because literal also involves interpretation, right? So when I unpack a Torah at a service, here's a challenge. Here's an awkwardness as I address the text and as the text addresses me. Here's how I respond to it. How do you? You know, did you have Rabbi Brito for Tanakh?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Brito was a challenging presence and a brilliant teacher. One of his cliches was, is the Hebrew Bible the religious text of Western civilization because it is a great book? Or is it a great book because it's the religious text of Western civilization? Now, our lives, our careers, were staked on the former, that it is a library of great books, and that's why it is the religious text of Western civilization. From all too many, it's an unknown territory of fable and fairy tale and foolishness. A lot of nice F's in there, right?
Nice alliterative.
Why do you pay attention to this? I mean, come on. If God spoke to Abraham in a way that God no longer speaks, what do I have in common with Abraham? That's among the things that I try to share as a person who believes that these texts speak volumes about who we are supposed to be. So here's another one of my little shticks. In my retirement, I teach one course a semester. I'm the rabbi in residence at a United Methodist Seminary. And one of the challenges that comes up is the whole idea of what do we mean when we say we've heard the voice of God? For me, the voice of God is an experience that says yes, say yes to life, say yes to life, say yes to life. Or as Eugene Borowitz used to say, God is always broadcasting FM, but all too often we only have an AM receiver.
Right. Okay. I would say that our job is to hone our AM receiver, or our FM receiver, whatever the metaphor.
For sure.
Yeah. No. What about prophecy? What about God speaking directly to you?
What about prophecy? Well, you know, as you and I would again be aware, all too often people distort prophecy as though it were fortune telling. Prophets are prophets, and I'm not, because they understand that the critical moments of behavior have consequences, and the consequences are coming perhaps now. And they hear that as a divine imperative in an exquisite way. I mean, a different framing. For me, back at that United Methodist Seminary thing, I am fascinated by the notion that for me, the Hebrew Bible is far more a human effort at a divine perspective on the human situation. It's a sacred anthropology even more than it's a human theology.
A sacred anthropology. What a fascinating word.
Well, I like it because I think it's really about what we are supposed to be and how we fall down and will we get up. At least that's my sermon. But by the way, Wayne, that reminds me of another one of our teachers, Dr. Eugene Mahaly, Olive Shalom.
Yeah, well, I hear a great deal of the Mahaly in you.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, because, he was intoxicated by Midrash, rabbinic commentary.
Yes.
And that's my passion in terms of scholarship. And I appreciate that, even though Mahaly was a complex and challenging personality. From time to time he taught homiletics. That's a fancy schmancy word for a listener's sermons. And one of my classmates, asked, how do you come up with a sermon every week? And he said, that's not the problem. The fact is you only have one, at most two sermons. Mm-hmm. The critical thing is to find out what it is. Mm-hmm. And as I look back, my gosh, 50 years. For you, it's what, 51?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
50 years as a rabbi, he was more right than I can imagine, because almost all of my sermons, once a week, twice a week often, were variations on this theme, my sermon. There's holiness all around us. There's a sacred dimension in us. Now get to work.
And I heard that same thing, but did you write your dissertation with him?
No, I wrote my dissertation with the modern Hebrew literature, Warren Bargad, and Stanley Chayat.
Great man, great man. Blessed memory. Dr. Mahaly did not like me very much because I was way too traditional for him. And that reminded me of those things that he...
Our professors were dealing with the ghosts of their traditional past.
Yes. I reminded him too much of what he had run away from. He didn't like me very much. But
by the way, for listeners, he was from Hungary and people used to call him the Count.
Yes, the Count. I heard that too, and I've given two sermons in my life. The first was the social justice sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of my career, perhaps different from yours, is that I'm here to help you create a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful variation on not inferior or superior, but a wonderful variation of what I'm convinced we're here to do, to introduce people to holiness. For the National Association of Retired Reform Rabbis, Na'or, which is ironic because in Hebrew you would look at it and say Na'ar, as in youth.
You're right.
For the 50th anniversary class was given the opportunity to pick your favorite verse and in no more than 150 words elaborate. So mine will fit right into the avenue you are walking on, I think, and I'll be delighted for your feedback if you think I'm wrong. I didn't do Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, holy, holy, holy is the eternal host. But the second part, Melo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo, the fullness of the whole earth is God's. Some people translate it glory, some people translate it presence, but I nuanced, based on the Hebrew, the fullness of the whole earth is God's heaviness. And I say that, Wayne, because Kavod, which is usually translated honor, right, or comes from the Hebrew word kabed, which is the Hebrew word for the liver, as in the organ of the body.
Correct.
Because with the exception of the skin, the liver is the heaviest organ in the human body. The Hebrew bodies too, by the way. But I think that what that means is literally, there is no place where God is not, but we're not always aware, present to that presence.
That's correct. That's correct. And so,
you and I think we're correct, but there are plenty of people who say you're delusional.
When we come back with Rabbi Tzedek, I will share with you a quotation from my teacher, and I think yours as well, because you quote him a number of times. The late great mystic Rabbi Dr. Abraham Joshua Heschel, and I will share that comment with you. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dussek, along with this fascinating conversation with my esteemed and distinguished colleague Rabbi Michael Tzedek. The book is Taking Miracles Seriously: A Journal to Everyday Spirituality. Rabbi Michael Tzedek, Zedek. It's a Sutherland, is that it?
Sutherland.
But it's
the British spelling, S-U-T-H.
So Sutherland House out of Toronto. Grab it during the break, and we'll be back after these messages. As always, inviting you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Do you wonder what is happening in our world? Do you wonder what the forces of the universe are doing to us? Is your life affected by the ebb and flow of events over which you seem to have little control? The answers to these questions and more can be found in the internet publication Cosmic Times, Spiritual News You Can Use, a bi-monthly channel transmission from Ellen Kaufman Dossick. Since 1994, the Cosmic Times has offered detailed information about what is happening energetically in our cosmos and how we can best support the emerging consciousness within ourselves and our world. Many people feel like the Cosmic Times keeps them sane in a seemingly crazy world, lifts their vibrations, and supports their continuing growth and expansion. You can subscribe to the Cosmic Times by going to the website www.soulmemorydiscovery.com. Join the thousands who benefit from the wisdom and insights in the Cosmic Times and receive spiritual news you can use. www.soulmemorydiscovery.com.
Information, entertainment, worldwide. HealthyLife.net.
We're back. It's Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. Because of the breach in the technology a little earlier, we have only two segments left, but we're here with Rabbi Michael Tzedek, the author of Taking Miracles Seriously, A Journey to Everyday Spirituality. Rabbi Michael Tzedek, Z-E-D-E-K. He was at one time the rabbi of Temple Emmanuel in Chicago. I believe he's still the rabbi emeritus there, and still teaching classes there. And I believe I'm correct. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You received a package with a bomb in it. Is that correct?
We were supposed to have gotten that. It was intercepted, but there was a big simus around it, of course, because the World Wide Web tracking suggested that the origin of it was Egypt. So there was anxiety galore. Yeah.
But there was a package that was a bomb in your place.
It ended up being a false alarm, thank God.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But I will tell you one small story. At 1 o'clock in the morning for me, I get a phone call from Israeli radio. We'd like you to go on for an interview. And I said, sure. Do I have to be speaking Hebrew at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because I suspect, not unlike you, my fluency I have to be a week in Israel before I'm thinking in Hebrew. Otherwise,
right, exactly.
I'm translating from English into Hebrew. And that's not the easiest trick in terms of an interview. So they said, no, we want it in Hebrew. So I have no idea what I said, Wayne.
So before we went on break, by the way, let me also tell you that Rabbi Tzedek is the host, a participant in a program called Religion on the Line. Just in a minute or two, tell us about that program.
Well, a minute or two. Irony of ironies, a gentleman here many years ago took his own life. He was a talk show psychologist pioneer, had a 25 share. You know, because of radio, that's enormous. That means one of every four radios in this area were listening to him. He took his own life. They were afraid like crazy to be copycats. Lo and behold, I was asked to do the funeral, and I'm sure it's the first time a lot of media types were there and heard someone who took religion seriously and wasn't crazy, as in crazy, you know, send me $20 and I'll pray for you, or at least send me the $20. They asked me to fill in. I did. blah, blah, blah. Ended up, I didn't want to do a show by myself. A rabbi, priest, and a minister walk into a radio studio instead of a bar. Mm-hmm. And we did it for 29 years. Now it's podcast irregularly because the station needed income, which we didn't have for them. And so it's really now it's just an occasional religion on the line is the title. I thought it was a good line, especially because it came up in a time when people were yelling at each other, not unlike what we have now, right? And not talking, not listening, only shouting over. That was the days of fire on CNN, if you remember that awful show.
Sure. Well, that was a model of out here, ABC. Dennis Prager had religion on the line all those years ago.
Yeah.
So the Heschel quote that I wanted to share, based on our conversation from right before the break, is God is not always silent, and man is not always blind. In every man's life, there are moments when there is a lifting of the veil at the horizon of the known, opening a sight of the eternal. Abraham Joshua Heschel.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, he's one of the great mentors of all time. And when I read him in college, I thought, my God, how ridiculous. And then I read him and found out, not unlike the Mark Twain story, it's amazing how much the old man had grown up since I got older. He's evocative in the extreme of a beautiful melody that ought to be in our own lives. And so, you know, one of my favorites is, who lit the fire of our eyes and who lit the, before our eyes and who lit the fire of our eyes? Or as Samuel Dresner, one of his great students in a collection, titled it, I Ask for Wonder.
I Ask for Wonder. So I was going to ask you exactly that. How is your theology, your cosmology, asking for wonder?
You know, I almost don't think anymore it's asking, it's just gazing in awe at all that is around me and in me. But I certainly think that it is infused with a overwhelming sense of gratitude for this brief moment before eternity that I happen to be a custodian of the breath of life. And it is less than a brief moment.
And for that, do you give credit and thanks to God?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the godness in us. Or to use an image that I use in the book, ironically, the first time I ever heard it was from Richard Rubenstein, who you know was well known for the so-called death of God movement.
Mm-hmm.
He suggested all of reality is the ocean, and there are waves on the ocean. Waves are part of the ocean before they are, while they are, and after what? After we no longer have the wave in our experience. Right now there's a wave on the ocean called Michael, a wave on the ocean called Wayne, et cetera, et cetera. While we're in the form of waves, we have two life tasks we're constantly messing up. One, by definition, we're connected to all the other waves. Two, by definition, we're never not connected to the source. The source spelled G-O-D, because all life shares that energy, which is the heart of the holy one.
You write.
So what we call death is returning to the place you never left.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So you write in the first sentence of chapter 6 is, some readers judge any discussion of God as problematic, obscure, or even esoteric, a conclusion I hope to avoid. So what does it mean to discuss God?
Well, I think it means to discuss our experience. I think it means to be humble in the awareness that, as St. Augustine, not one of my favorite people, but as St. Augustine said, if you think you have found God, then it isn't God. Because God is more than all there is. At least that word means that. And as we talked during the break, you know, Buber's great, one of the, I and thou. And one of the things that I think is absolutely implicit in his notion is that when you're really encountering the other, you're getting as close as it is possible to encountering the eternal thou, which is behind and within all. I love a story. The book is filled with little anecdotes. At least I like anecdotes. And the Harry Golden one is the one that comes to mind in terms of what you're talking about.
Very, very.
Go ahead. Really, even though he doesn't take it seriously. And Golden, as a teenager, attacking the inconsistencies of his father, that's the job of a teenager. Says, why do you go to synagogue? You don't take that stuff seriously. And in his defense, he says, Garfinkel's your best friend. Well, Garfinkel goes to synagogue to talk to God. I go to synagogue to talk to Garfinkel. Jewish tradition insists when you're really meeting, talking, embracing Garfinkel, you're as close to God as we can get. It's a pineal moment, a face of God.
And we have the great pleasure of talking to Rabbi Michael Tzedek in this edition of Spirit Talk Live. And we'll be back after these messages. This is Spirit Talk Live. I am Rabbi Wayne Dossick, and I'm here with Rabbi Michael Tzedek, old friend and classmate, taking miracles seriously, a journey to everyday spirituality, Sutherland Press, Sutherland House out of Toronto. We'll be back after these messages, as always, inviting you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
I'm here with Rabbi Michael Tzedek. What a conversation. What an interesting conversation. And we were just reminiscing over our life at Hebrew Union College and in the dorms and our classmates. And those were heady years for us.
Heady Lamar years.
While we were learning with really some of the great teachers of our generation. Many of our teachers were the remnant of the Hochschuler, the liberal seminary in Germany, who were survivors of the Holocaust, and they were great learned men, men and just men in those days, and it was quite a ride.
You're not kidding.
That stood us in very, very good stead for all these years. Robert Jastrow, the late Dr. Robert Jastrow, not the dictionary, but the head of NASA, wrote that the scientist has lived by the power of reason. He has scaled mountains of ignorance and is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries.
God and the New Astronomers, the concluding page. I love that book, and it's exquisite in its brilliance and insight, and his accuracy. Quantum physics is a heck of a lot like theology.
It certainly is. It certainly is. So, in the few moments that we have left, Rabbi Tzedek, mm-hmm. Rabbi Michael Tzedek, Taking Miracles Seriously, A Journey from Everyday Spirit to Everyday Spirituality, available on Amazon. Go there. If you haven't gotten the book, go there right after the show. And while you're there, flip over to my page and grab a copy of Radical Loving. Also, my book, Living Judaism, still the best introduction to Judaism on the market. What's the efficacy of prayer? To whom are we speaking, and what is mm-hmm. prayer going to do for us?
Yeah. Well, that's a big topic and not enough time, but I'll try on one foot, as we say, to make a few comments that might be meaningful. One, the word prayer, as you know, comes from the Latin word precari, which means to beg. I'm not good at begging. I don't like the idea of begging. But the Hebrew word lahitpalel, which is translated to pray, means to judge oneself. So I look at prayer as twofold. One, Jewish prayer's emphasis is much more on thank you than it is on please. And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. But I need to pay attention, which is what prayer asks me to do. Second, as the late Rabbi Morris Adler used to say, and I'll put it in language that's contemporary, because he spoke before we were aware of the chauvinism in language. One who rises from prayer a better person, that person's prayer is answered. So for me, that's the exercise of what prayer is meant to remind me of, as well as to clarify there are improvements needed at my house, the place I live, inside me. There are improvements necessary on my street, in my city, et cetera, et cetera. Because if I judge myself, I need to take a full look at the whole panoply of experiences I have. Different example. Why not just tie up to the feeding trough and put it all down? Well, the prayer with which Jewish tradition begins a meal is meant to pause and remind me I'm about to participate in a whole series of miracles. I'm going to derive from this food, hopefully, a pleasant aesthetic experience of taste. My body is going to get the fuel it needs in order to sustain my life for whatever amount of time is my portion. And my body, lo and behold, wonder of wonders, is going to expel that which it can no longer use. We are awesomely made. Prayer asks us to remember that and then to say, what does that mean in terms of how we then proceed to make our lives more meaningfully engaged?
How about meaning thank you to the one who made us in this awesome way?
That's the heart. You know, as I'm sure you'll remember in good old liturgy class, the quote-unquote second prayer, what we used to euphemistically call the plumber's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Praise you, eternal our God, ruler of the universe, a nice translation, who has made us in wondrous fashion with openings and closings. If that which were to be open were to be closed, and if that which were to be closed were to be open, we could not stand before you. It's about defecation and urination in the awareness of paying attention to that when it's working, as opposed to what we normally do only when it's dysfunctioning. But the Chatima, the seal, praise are you, eternal our God. Mafli la'asot. Mafli is a verb form of the Hebrew word peleg, which means a wow or a wonder, often mistranslated imprecisely as miracle. Mafli la'asot, who wows to do. What is it a wow to do? For me, that excitement, that's another burning bush experience to add to the repertoire of embrace of life.
You are an incredibly eclectic, brilliant writer, and obviously, Rabbi, your congregations have been very, very fortunate to have you as their spiritual guide. Rabbi Michael Tzedek, Taking Miracles Seriously, A Journey to Everyday Spirituality. The breadth and depth of knowledge in this book is really awesome, my friends. Rabbi Tzedek, thank you so much for being with us today. We really, really appreciate it.
Wayne, thank you. Kol tuv, hatzlacha, and blessings, blessings galore.
Thank you, thank you. So, dear friends, we thank Rabbi Tzedek for being here. We thank Doc Collins, our musician extraordinary, for playing our theme song each and every week, and the wonderful folks at HealthyLife.net, Linda McKenzie, the visionary founder, and James Cruz, our extraordinary producer, for making Spirit Talk Live part of the Healthy Life family for these last 15 years now. We are very, very grateful. So until next month, friends, be good and do good, be sweet and be holy. Tune your awareness to oneness consciousness, for in oneness consciousness you are sourced to strive for the recognition of the reality, one God, one world, one people, the power and the promise of Eden on earth once again. That's why we invite you this month and every month to come on the journey, join in the quest. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. Until next month, Shalom, Salam, Pax, Peace.
Sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice, is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.